Not gonna happen. Oh, Jesus. NBA Straya. How's it going? How you going? It's NBA Straya for Tuesday, December 5th. It's our 11th episode, 12th episode. That's pretty nice. Welcome to NBA Straya. I'm James Clements, a writer for Rolling Stone, Junkie, the Brooklyn Game, and one half of the Duranguys NBA podcast. And I'm here in Larry Armour Studios in New York City, staring down a bunch of weird Russians working on the construction site on top of the brownstone across from our apartment. And I'm here to take you through daily breakdowns of the hottest of NBA storylines. Who's doing what, how they're doing it, where they're doing it, and who is doing it better than Lonzo Ball today? We're talking about what happened last night in the NBA, talking a bunch of smack about a bunch of other NBA junk. And of course, as usual, we cover off what the Australian NBA players are up to. Today, we have our Shane Heal Shoot Your Shot Performance of the Week. And all the usual dumb segments like, that's not a knife, that's a knife. Look at me, the unpopular opinion. The award-winning, and a very special guest winging by. It's Joe Ingles back as NBA Australia's own HR manager. Nice one. Plus, we'll wrap all the games from last night and preview tonight's. And as usual, there's going to be a bunch of swearing. And look, if you're coming here for informed basketball talk, I'm really sorry to disappoint you, but what are you going to do? All right, let's go. It's NBA Australia. Oh, man. NBA Australia, what a night last night was. Let's do our daily whip around. It's right there. We catch up on all things NBA with a daily whip around. Some news, what happened last night. News, LeVar Ball. There's now the LeVar Ball rule being not instituted at the Lakers, but it's now being enforced where media can't talk to player guests and family, and nor can those media members sit basically where the Lakers are shooting around to practice. This all seems to be some sort of way of circumventing LeVar Ball, basically taking media scrums and pretty much shifting the idea and like the onus off the team. And you know, fine, good on your Lakers, sure. I'd be more concerned though about Lonzo and like instituting a rule where Lonzo, hey, you have to shoot free throws better than Shaq this year. Let's focus on that first. Anthony Davis has a groin injury. We were talking about how it's like a pelvic thing and how he was in like a wheelchair. Thing is, it's a groin injury, but it's nothing crazy serious, so he's actually just day-to-day. Speaking of hurt, oh man, Steph went over on his ankle pretty hardcore last night. We'll talk about Steph in depth during the wrap of that Warriors game. But didn't look great. And, of course, in the NFL, there's like some like crazy concussions, and you look at the NBA version, you're like, wow, this is why I watch the NBA probably a lot more than NFL, because Jesus. It was Ejection City as well. We're just continuing like to throw dudes out. KD and Boogie got tossed in the Pelicans-Warriors game. That follows KD being tossed the other night as well. Sean Livingston, Anthony Davis, LeBron. Jesus. Everybody's getting tossed out here. Melo got tossed for basically being fouled a couple of weeks ago. God damn. And in news like that with Sean Livingston, the NBA suspended Livingston for one game and for his kind of headbutt confrontation with the ref, Courtney Kirkland. The NBA also removed Courtney Kirkland for 1 week because of the way he was all up in John Livingston's face. Pretty weird, pretty cool, but there you go. All right, let's do the Monday night wrap where we do whip around every game that happened last night. We had 22 teams playing last night. It was a bonanza. Literally on the couch with the TV on NBA TV. The laptop to the right with a dizzying array of games being popped up. And, of course, on the TV, switching between the Brooklyn and Knicks games. Let's start at Brooklyn. Brooklyn play in Atlanta, and they win 110-90. Sweet baby carrots. Oh, love you so much. Love your guts. Love your guts, Caris LeVert. 17-7. That was his season high. Pretty good. Brooklyn nailed this with a 17-0 run at the start of the third. Put it to bed. Nice one. They go now to Mexico City for a couple of games. Nice one. Mexico City. Lovely. Got a lot of time for it. Magic at Hornets. Magic's 94, Hornets 104. Kemba comes back for the Hornets from his shoulder injury. Had himself a night, 29-7. Teaming up with Dwight Howard, who was dunking on people like 2009. He had 10-9, did Dwight. More importantly, though, he moved past Dikembe Mutombo and Paul Silas for 19th all-time in rebounding. Jesus. One of those things where you go, oh, yeah, Dwight has been in the league for like 14 fucking years, man. Bit of pissiness about the Hornets Magic game. 40-14 free throw discrepancy for the Hornets. Frank Vogel, not entirely stoked about that on the Orlando side. What are you going to do? I don't know. Maybe you attack the hoop a bit more, you dickhead. Knicks at Pacers. Now, this was fucking horrible. Knicks 97, Pacers 115. Knicks, though. Man, watching the Knicks without the supercharged. Who is he? He is a supercharged Zingerberger. And Tim Hardaway, the lesser, was just the fucking worst. Ugh. Basically, Pacers had this in the hand by the start of the second quarter. Bojan, Victor Oladipo, and Thaddeus all did work. Lance Stevenson schooled Frankie Smokes. Took him to the school dance. Got him dancing out there. And then Lance skipped all the way back up the court. Go watch the highlight. It's great. Domantas the Souvlaki King. Sabonis had a very nice 12-12. Remarkable how he and Victor are away from the oppression of Russell Westbrook and now out there smoking motherfuckers. Still, Pacers just be rolling. We go over to Philadelphia. The Suns, 115. Punch the Sixers in the dick, 101. God damn. We're going to talk about this performance a little bit later in a surprise twist, but Devin Booker, 46 points. Hot damn. The Lord and Savior Ben Simmons had a very nice dunk. An alley-oop, I think it was thrown up by Robert Covington, where it actually got hit midair and he readjusted and still dunked it. That's why you, Ben Simmons, are the Lord and Savior. Embiid had 22-12 and Redick popped up with 25, which is almost $1 million of his contract per point. Nice one. But the Suns smoked him. TJ Warren out there getting 25. But man, Devin Booker. Go in depth in a little bit on that. That's a bit of a surprise. Suns on this road trip, Sixers chilling, and they get killed. Nice one. Anyway, Bucks go to Celtics. This was a fun-ass game. It was Greek night in Boston as well, because why not? Bucks lose 100-111. Giannis roasted and toasted Jalen and Jason, the double J's of Tatum and Brown. For 40 points. That's his fourth career 40-point game, and it's his third this year. He also tried to kill Aaron Baines. Baines was having none of it, though. Just like my Year 7 maths teacher, Mr. Money Apanaika. He took no shit. He went, fuck you. You're not dunking on me. And fouled his ass to the heavens. Kyrie was shaking and baking as well. He had 32. Pretty much had the game clinching three as well. But man, the story of the first half of this was Jason Tatum. Just looked good. He had like four threes in like no time. It's 17 for the entire night. But Jesus, I knew Jason Tatum. And one thing that I was like, oh yeah, Eric Bledsoe. He is a fucking tank, though. Jesus Christ. Wanders out there. He's all muscle. Looks like a guy that back in Australia, his nickname would definitely be Nugget. You go, oi, Nugget! What's going on? And you're like, oh, yeah, that's Eric Bledsoe. Nugget. Still, that was a fun game. It was like up and down. Bucks sort of always look there, but there's just a little bit something off. And you just wonder if it's like Jabari Parker. He comes back and... Yeah, there you go. Cavs 113 to Bulls 91. Ooh, gross. Absolute laugher. Cavs winning streak hits 12 now. LeBron had a 23-7-6. Kevin Love with 24-13. D-Wade had 24 off the bench. This was the D-Wade coming home game. I still love the idea that the Bulls are paying Dwayne Wade $16 million to come into Chicago and beat the pants off them. Chicago now 3-19 and the worst record in the league. Gross. Minnesota at the Grizz, the No Fears Grizz. They finally snapped that 11-game losing streak. I don't know how. 95-92, Marc Gasol and Reek had 21-16. Tyreek buried a couple of late free throws to seal it. Second straight, Jimmy Butler, 30-point game after having none for the year. He had a chance to tie to the buzzer as well, but missed it. And I don't know, man, Cat and Wiggins just still, ugh. This is the sort of game where they just go, you know how much better we are than like everybody else on Memphis? Like, terrifyingly large amounts. So how about we just kick the shit out of them? And it just doesn't happen. Brutal. Anyway, Memphis get one. I mean, it had to happen eventually. Still. Warriors go into New Orleans. This was fucking a bonkers game. Steph had 31 but got hurt. X-rays apparently came back negative initially. He's getting an MRI today. Boogie and KD get tossed. The Pelicans were like up 20 at the half, but the Warriors just like fucking smoked them. Clay eventually woke up. He had like one little like fast break point where he's like, oh yeah, wait, I'm actually Klay Thompson. How about I just shoot this and it'll be fucking awesome. And of course, buried it. And then Steph went on a roll basically to pull it back all the way to like 3 points. Pretty much scored like 12 points straight by himself. Jrue Holiday here though had 34 points. Etuan Moore smashed a career high with 27. And Steph Curry became the fastest person to 2,000 career three-pointers. Faster by 224. Five games over the nearest person. That's almost three full fucking seasons. Hot damn. Anyway, Warriors, Pelicans. It's just weird. Boogie, no AD to finish this game for the fucking Pelicans. Tough, man. How about San Antonio? Spurs welcome in the Detroit Pistons. 96-93, they win. Absolutely fucking bananas topsy-turvy game. Spurs win it. Kind of because of like LaMarcus Aldridge, I guess. Maybe. Patty looked good though. Pop stretched out his rotation for this one as well. Rudy Gay started, had 12, 10, and 4. Andre Drummond had like 11, 15, and like 6. That's awesome. And Reggie Jackson had 27 points as well. It was a fun ass game, which I did not expect. It's like there was always kind of something going on. Tobias Harris out there doing stuff. LaMarcus and Patty and LaMarcus and Ginobili had these like awesome little connections. There you go. Spurs still kicking ass. Because, of course, the Spurs are. They're 16-8 and they still don't have Kawhi. That's fucking bananas over there. Nugs go to Dallas. And Jesus, there was a former President Bush there. I mean, that was something. Mavs win 122-105. This game sucked. Mavs kicked their ass. Harrison Barnes had 22-10. Dennis Smith Jr. had 25-3. On you, Denny. And the Nugs backcourt, Gary Harris and Jamal Murray looked all right. 21 and 22, respectively. And while Will the Thrill Barton had 23 off the bench, still, Mavs just killed. And Dirk didn't have to do shit. He had like 9 points. Nice one. Jazz. Man, this was a laugher. Rudy Gobert comes back to the Jazz and they win 116 to the Wizards. 69. Nice. Rudy was back. Alec Burks is alive. He had a huge 27. This thing was over by like basically the start of the second half. No problems. Jingling Joe against Otto Porter. He had a nice little run there. We'll talk about that in the Australian Player Watch. That was fun as hell though. Man, I'm just stoked that like Alec Burks is alive. We'll talk about him in a little bit too. Donovan Mitchell, we're going to talk about him in a little bit as well. You can probably guess in what ones. But that was all 22 of the teams playing, which is fun. It's like a lot, isn't it? God damn it. Which means we've wrapped up every game. Then we go to the NBA Australia. NBA Australia approved performance of the night.
That's a knife.
That is a knife, Devin fucking Booker. Holy shit. Devin Booker, you bad man. 46 points, 8 rebounds, 1 assist in a win against the Sixers. He goes 17 of 32 from the field, 5 of 8 from 3. Thing is, at 17 of 32, god damn it, man. He started 2 of 11. So, not bad. Not bad at all to go 15 of 21 the rest of the way. Pretty fucking great. He has now 139 points in his last four games with a 67% true shooting percentage. Holy shit. Devin, I mean, you look like you're still in high school, mate, and you're out there dropping 46 on motherfuckers like it ain't no thing. That's why that is the NBA Australia approved performance of the night. That was a knife. Good job, Devin Booker. How about the NBA Australia old mate, no mates? Who's got no mates today? Give me the coward Kevin Durant. Dude, just fucking chill, would you? Jeez, stop pretending to be a tough guy. We all know that, like, you're not going to throw hands to Marcus Cousins because, you know, you're vaguely smart. But Jesus Christ, the best part is, like, Kevin Durant gets tossed for, like, jawing at Boogie Cousins and, you know, kind of having a go, acting the tough guy. The best part is, you know, that he was on the burner Twitter account somewhere bragging about how KD were going to beat DeMarcus's ass or some shit. Ah, man. The weird part is, like, they could have lost this game. They were down by 20. I mean, getting boogie tossed at the same time is actually kind of smart, but at the same time, Jesus, KD. I mean, there's a reason why you're the coward. It's because you went to the Warriors, and, like, you can actually afford to get tossed and your team still wins the fucking game. But, dude, that's like two in the last four games. Can you quit it? Just fucking quit it. You've got no mates today. The coward, Kevin Durant, you are old mate. No mates. All right. What about better than Lonzo Ball for today? It's the award-winning segment. It's another award-winning segment.
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you'll get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros. Now I can be average.
Now he could be average. Just imagine that. Still, what are you going to do? Better than Lonzo Ball. Didn't play last night, but Jesus Christ. We all know who it was because it's a four-time Better Than Lonzo Ball champion. Hashtag Better Than Lonzo Ball today is, you know his middle name, it's Donovan fucking Mitchell. Holy shit. Goes out there for the Jazz and puts up a lazy 21-3-2 against the Wiz for the Jazz. 8-13 from the field, 3-6 from three. He had 41 the other night. That means Donovan Mitchell, rookie, 13th pick in the NBA draft last year. Remember, Lonzo Ball was number two. I don't know if you remember that. Donovan Mitchell now has 126 points in his last five games, shooting 53.7% from the field and 51.2% from three. Yes, that will regress because it has to. The best part is that is basically the opposite of Lonzo Ball shooting. God damn, man. Donovan Mitchell out there smashing. Of course, Lonzo didn't play, but he doesn't even play actually until I think Thursday. Wednesday. Still, Lonzo at 9-7-7 for the year. Donovan Mitchell is now up to, I think, like 17 points a game. God damn. That is pretty goddamn hot. And good on you. I've never been more proud of Donovan Mitchell. 16.6 points per game, 3.2 assists, 3.1 rebounds. God damn, man. You're like, he's up there at top three, rookie of the year with Ben Simmons and Jason Tatum. Lonzo, he's not going to make the all-rookie team. All right, cool. That was good. That was a nice one. That was a hashtag better than Lonzo Ball for today. And coming up next, we're going to have the award-winning segment, the real award-winning segment. Yeah, nah. Just stick around in just a second. Yeah! NBA Strayer. It's Yeah Nah. It is the award-winning Yeah Nah segment. We have three Yeah Nahs where we go through three NBA storylines and get a Yeah Nah to figure out if it's more Yeah or more Nah. First up, refs are pulling the trigger on ejections super early this year, huh?
Yeah Nah.
Nah. Look, I'm more on the side of the way that the players yell at refs and get away with it most of the time is a bit on the shit side. So, bam, fucking tech them up. And maybe they'll not yell at refs and fucking scream and one every time they shoot the fucking ball. Just maybe this is like just a bit of the reflexing the muscles. And you know what? I'm actually kind of okay with that because I think in the long run, it'll work out better and players won't be fucking bitching and moaning and yelling at refs instead of actually playing basketball. I mean, the other side, I mean, Boogie didn't do much to get tossed last night. That was a bit shit. That was a reputation call as well, which is a fucking bummer. So you can't really do that and then expect everyone to treat you with respect because I mean, what's the end game there? Like, if you're going to toss Boogie for doing fuck all, how do you then, like, expect Boogie to be like, ah, hey, ref, I'm totally cool with you guys basically tossing me out of games for nothing? It's tough. Still, the balancing act is there, and the refs, I think I'm leaning towards that side. Nice one. Number two, if Steph is out for a couple of weeks, the door is open for Houston to nail down the top spot in the West. Fucking shit, yeah. They've been super healthy the last 3 years, the old Warriors, apart from like the month that KD the Coward missed. But we do get to now see if Steph's out for a couple of weeks, the Coward Kevin Durant make his MVP case. Put him on your back there, the Coward. Meanwhile, Chris Paul's already missed a month and Houston still have the best record in the West. It's pretty remarkable, really. 18-4. Fucking Houston, man. 7-game winning streak that everyone just keeps forgetting about. I mean, we all like lose our minds about Cleveland and 12, the 12 that they've won straight. The Jazz have won 6 straight as well, but goddamn, Houston out there just smoking dudes. Pretty good. So it's going to make it really, really fun. And like, this is what everyone's kind of like always said about Golden State. It's like, oh man, they're going to they will dominate the NBA for years to come. Unless they have injuries. So here we go. It's going to find out what's going to happen. Hopefully it's not serious, but it's going to be fun to see what happens in the next couple of weeks. Did OKC actually lose the Melo and Paul George trades? This is the old NBA grist for the mill. A lot of factors, but you always want the better player. It's pretty obvious. Victor going off is what we all thought was vaguely possible and what we kind of expected him to do after Orlando when he got to OKC. Just apparently that can't happen next to Rusty Westbrook, which isn't a giant surprise. There was a great breakdown, I think, by, I want to say, Kevin Pelton, and how Victor is just suddenly shooting way better off the dribble, especially for three, pull-up threes. It's like he's shooting way better this year than he did last year. And obviously, you know, that would have worked pretty nicely next to old Rusty Westbrook over there, but... And the Souvlaki King, I mean, he was a fucking rookie. They tried to make him a stretch four, wherein Indiana are kind of like, oh, actually, you just be our backup center, because fucking why not, man? So that's smart. And I don't know, New York, what? Cantor? Sure. I mean, he works nicely next to Porzingis. He still doesn't play any fucking defense. Basically, all he does is like start fights for LeBron James and get offensive rebounds, so... I don't know. It's a bit too early, but I think Indy are much, much, much happier with their return than we probably all suspected. So, nice one. Good job. Oh, there you go. That was a good yeah, nah. How about a bit of a look at me? Look at me. An unpopular opinion of the day. I was super sickened by Steph's ankle, but I'm super stoked to see how the Coward steps up. Yeah, I'm kind of like secretly kind of pumped of like, all right, bit of adversity for the Warriors. Let's see what happens, how they respond. They can come out and fucking smoke everybody, which is what I suspect will happen. But if the Coward can make his MVP run right now, might be worth putting a little bit of taste on the old Coward there. Because if they fucking like rip off a winning streak without Steph, ooh, there you go. Watch out. Hey, did you know NBA Australia, it's Tuesday. That means we get the Shane Heal Shoot Your Shot Memorial for Great Moments and Rambling Dudes going off of the week. And we mention him at the top. Give me some fucking Alec Burks. I mean, usually this is a big historical one, but this is historically fucking crazy for Alec Burks. Dude has gone 4 games, averaging 23.2 points on 60% shooting. 14 of 21 from 3. He's lit him up. 27, 24, 28, and 14. Shoot your fucking shot, Alec Burks. I love it. Weird little Jazz guy. Feel like you could have got him in a bit of a steal. He's never been healthy, and then suddenly he's come alive, and I fucking love it. On you, Alec Burks. You win our Shane Heal Shoot Your Shot Memorial for Great Moments and Random Dudes Going Off for this week. What a run. Jesus Christ. On you. All right, coming up next, we've got... That was definitely me just saying coming up next. Coming up next, we have the Australian Player Watch. You know you love it. I mean, I do, because it's pretty amazing. All right, Australian Player Watch coming up next. We're going to whip through everybody just after this one. Ah, yeah, NBA. Australia. We're going to do the Australian Player Watch, rip through everybody, how they're doing, what they've been up to. Ben Simmons played the Suns last night. The Lord and Savior Ben Simmons played the Suns. They lost, but Ben Simmons had 20 points, 8 rebounds, 7 assists, and damn, son, 6 steals. He had 9 of 18 shooting, which is par for course, I guess, for the old Lord and Savior over there, hanging out so close to the rim. Looks good. Just looks really, really, really good. I've got a lot of time for Ben Simmons and whatever he's doing at any moment in time in a surprise twist. He plays again, I believe, on Thursday against the Lakers, which would be fun. Patty Mills played the Pistons last night, came off the bench behind Tony Parker, had 11, 4, and 3, went 4 of 8 from the field, 3 of 6 from 3, and just looked really good. Had a couple of really good connections with LaMarcus and was running the second unit really, really tightly. That was really good. I enjoyed watching, getting a bit of a Patty Mills character study in there. He plays Miami on Wednesday night next. Joe Ingles played the Wiz, as mentioned, had 11, 2, and 2 against Otto Porter. Went 4 of 6 from the field, 3 of 5 from 3, which puts me in the amazing, amazing NBA Australia stat of the year. He's still shooting better from 3 than from the field. I fucking love you, Jinglin' Joe. Slow-mo Joe. He's just out there dropping bombs like an ain't no thing. And still hasn't missed a free throw all fucking year. Jinglin' Joe, you're a superstar. He plays OKC tonight. Matthew Dellavedova. Deli. Well, he hasn't played since November 15. Hashtag free Deli. Thon McCurr. So, obviously, he and Deli are on the Bucks. They played the Baines-led Celtics. Did Thon do anything? No, he did not make his first three since November 7 because he didn't attempt one. He only played 8 minutes and went 0 of 4. And one rebound. Looked a bit lost out there, did Thon. Took just a really bad bricky, like, just inside the three-point line jumper that just looked all kinds of wonky and shit. No good, buddy. No good. He plays Detroit on Wednesday next. Maybe Deli comes back. Who knows? Aaron Baines. He played Deli and Thon in the Bucks, and he fucking smashed. Celtics are now 13-1 with Baines in the starting lineup. That's amazing. So Baines smashed with 10 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, and 1 block. Pretty good. Hit all 4 of his free throws. Avoided being killed by Giannis on that dunk attempt. And Baines, doing good. Doing good. They play Dallas on Wednesday. Andrew Bogut, yeah, he didn't do anything. What are you going to do? Sorry, not sorry. Just no Bogut. Because the Lakers, weirdly, had like another day off. Well, I mean, they played twice over the weekend still. So Bogut will next pop up on Thursday at Philly against Ben Simmons. They can hang out. That'll be nice. How about a daily question for NBA Australia? Yo, is Dante Exum still hurt? Ah, yeah. God damn it. And the final part of the Australian Player Watch, he is our honorary Australian because he was born in Australia. Kyrie, he had 32, 4, and 1 last night against the Bucks, smashing through that terrifying mask. Looks good. What's that? Oh, can I hear you over there going, hey, James, it's Tuesday. What does that mean? And I'll tell you, dear listener, it's Tuesday. That means we have the NBA Australia Mangok Mathiang check-in. Hey there, Mango! That's right, man. The Mangok Mathiang check-in. That's our Australian homie who's out there playing for the Greensboro Swarm in the NBA G League. Mango, doing good. I mean, he had a good stretch this last week. He had 4 G League games since we last checked in with him. He played the Canton Charge, the Northern Arizona Suns, and OKC Blue. The Swarm had lost 7 straight. And then they played the Delaware 76ers last night. So how'd he go? He had 12 and 16 against the Charge. Nice one. Rough 6 and 2 against the Suns. Bounced back with 11 and 8 against the Blue with 2 assists, 1 steal, and a block. Pretty good. And then last night against the Delaware 76ers, had a stinker. 3 points, 8 rebounds, and 5 fouls. Still, he's getting plenty of run. He had 30 minutes last night. So good job, Mango. Mangok, I love you. We're keeping tabs. I think we might be the only podcast in the world keeping tabs on Mangok Mathiang, but Mathiang, that's where we're at. We're going to try to tap an interview when we're down in Charlotte. start of next year, which would be fun. Nice one. Good job, Mango. That was a good check-in. Good on you, buddy. All right, coming up next, we're going to preview the games for tonight, Tuesday, December 5th, and check in with Patty Mills and his Twitter. It's all on NBA Australia. Oh, man. We are punching through it today. Massive slate, but we're still all good. How's the Patty Mills game day baller, game day inspiration board? What's Patty got to say today? In a surprise twist, it was game day baller, game day. Hashtag versus Detroit, hashtag go Spurs go. But there was a delightful back and forth on Twitter last night between Patty Mills and his Australian teammate, Jingling Joe Ingles. Oh my God. I love it. Joe Ingles tweeted out, love this team. Prayer hands. And of course, Patty Mills replied, not as much as I love my team. Two times prayer hands. Nice. Joe Ingles replied to that, I didn't ask you. Shush cunt emoji. Nice ones. Love it. That's so tight. There's some good back and forth. Jingling Joe, Patty Mills. Nice one. Thanks, guys. That was some good content. Hashtag. Hashtag content. Right, previews. Game previews. We're going to whip around each game of the NBA slate for tonight, Tuesday, December 5th. It's a kind of quiet one. There's a back-to-back on NBA TV. And, of course, the one that's not on NBA TV is the best one. So, let's go through it. Phoenix at Toronto. Phoenix on the end of a back-to-back after being in Philly last night. Booker had his 46. How's he going to go against DeRozan and Kyle, chunky Kyle Lowry? Fascinating. Toronto will smash in this one. Mark my words. Utah at OKC. OKC trying to right the ship. So this is the good game. Utah on a back-to-back. Having won last night in Utah, they go to OKC. It's a bit of travel. What are you going to do? Not too far, though, I guess. So, give me OKC in this one, I think. Nicely rested. I think they'll give it to Utah. What about Washington at Portland there? In the third and final game of the evening, the other game on NBA TV. Man, Washington only put up 69 nice points last night. Now they go to Portland, so they're traveling just so fucking much. They play, what, in Salt Lake City, then they go to Portland, just the end of the road trip. I don't know, man. Portland, they're just sort of cruising along, you know, just chilling, not illing. 13 and 10. Had lost a couple in a row, I think. Yeah, lost their last two. So I feel like Portland are going to need this one. And we'll continue the Wiz tailspin. I mean, the Wiz aren't really tailspinning. They only lost one. But Jesus Christ, they looked so bad last night. It's pretty brutal. And yeah, so give me Portland in that. So I'm taking Toronto, OKC, and Portland. Oh, wow, watch out. Just go all fucking chalk with home teams. Why don't you, you dickhead? Oh, well. What can I do? It's only three. Only three. And that's it. Oh, my God. We're through it. We did the damn thing. NBA Australia for today is done. We'll be back tomorrow for more ridiculousness. In the meantime, follow us on Twitter. There's lots and lots of stuff always going up. We always have like a fun, dumb stat of the day coming up on Twitter, Facebook, and Insta. So follow us on all of them. Go on. That's fun. And don't forget to subscribe, review, rate, all that good stuff on iTunes and Google Play. Come on. Go on, do it, do it, do it, do it. Thanks once more to From Oslo for the intro and outro song. Go check out House Hats, the best band in Australia right now. That's their new band. And an extra special thanks to the legends from Green, Green, Green and Ramshackle Army for the tunes you hear all the way throughout this episode. Check out Green, Green, Green and the Ramshackle Army on Bandcamp and Facey. Give them a smash. They're fucking awesome. And as promised at the top, we're going to finish out today with Joe Ingles, HR manager, because look, we all know that Joe Ingles looks like Toby Flenderson, and hey, he's been a great HR manager for NBA Australia so far. Everybody's loved his previous two incarnations, so why not? Woo! NBA Australia, we're done. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Catch us later, Horizon. G'day. It's Joe Ingles here, and I'm just doing my thing, swinging by the NBA Australia office to answer any questions anyone may have as NBA Australia's resident HR expert. See, most people forget that I didn't go to uni, that's college for you Americans out there, not just to play basketball, but to major in human resources as well. So as usual, I'm the most qualified here to help out with any questions you might have about any topic under the sun. Because, after all, the first thing you learn in human resources is that humans are resources. Okay, let's get to today's question. Alright, this question comes from Derek in Cleveland. To Mr. Joe. Oh, that's very nice and formal, Derek. I have had some problems at work and have been forced to take a leave of absence. Oh, well, that's terrific. Any workplace that allows leaves of absence for the betterment of their employees is doing the right thing, as long as you're not away too long, of course. It goes on. To deal with some personal issues. Oh, I'm very sorry to hear that, Derek. But it already feels like I don't belong back at my job. Since I left, the company has been doing much better, and all the reports are that everyone is much happier without me there. That is a predicament, Derek. Anyway, on we go. It hurts a lot because I was the best guy at my job for years, but that was in a different city and I was a lot younger then. So changing circumstances and a court case I'd rather not talk about have sapped me of a lot of the passion I have for the job. Basically, it's a lot harder than it used to be. We've all been there, Derek. Anyway, back to you. So, I'm not entirely sure if this is the right line of work for me. Perhaps I should give this up. What should I do, Mr. Joe? Should I go back to the office and try to fit in, or try a different line of work? Thank you for your time, Derek in Cleveland. Well, thank you for your letter, Derek. This is a tricky one. And one that we all kind of look at from time to time, maybe contemplating a career change. Because if your mind isn't on the job at hand, no matter how good you used to be, past performance isn't indicative of your value to the company in the present. I mean, are you meeting current KPIs? It doesn't sound like it. Perhaps you could talk to management about setting lower KPIs and seeing if you enjoy your role again. See, communication with management and HR can't be underestimated. In any workforce, they can be the difference between you succeeding or failing in any role you have. That said, if you find yourself lacking in passion for your role, just do what I do and every other HR person in history has done. Grit it out, come in every day, and give it your best vague attention. It's much easier that way, plus you get paid. Anyway, I wouldn't step away from this career path until you've thought about it completely through. And if you do, you need to research and develop just what you want to do outside of this. Perhaps a knitting store. That sounds nice, doesn't it? Either way, you've got to put yourself in a position to succeed. That means thinking positively and making the most of your human resources. Okay, that's all we've got time for this week. I've been Joe Ingles, and this has been the HR Q&A session. I'll catch you next week on NBA Australia.